ER 101. In conjunction with the American College of Emergency Physicians, get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome back to ER 101. We're talking about the American College of Emergency Physicians report card on the state of emergency medicine in this country today. And the big question, and one of the categories, is the nation ready in the event of a disaster? It can happen at any time, a mass casualty, the Boston Marathon, Aurora, Colorado, theater shooting. So are we ready? Our next guest, Dr. Paul Kivala, is a member of ASEP's board of directors, and he's currently serves as the secretary and treasurer. And I want to ask you, Dr. Kivala, exactly what was the grade as a whole that the nation got for disaster preparedness, or are we ready for a disaster in our emergency departments?
Yeah, thank you for having me, Dr. Vinoker. Yeah, unfortunately, the country didn't do as well as we'd like it to do. They earned a C-, which is actually down from a C-plus in 2009.
Wow.
And, you know, as you mentioned, you know, every community, you know, you can never be 100% prepared for a disaster. But certainly, you know, every community hopes that they'll perform as well as Boston did after the marathon bombing. But, you know, as we all hear, this is a news item. Always when a disaster hits, you want to be ready.
Right. And so what do you think, excuse me, was the reason that we actually, now the last report card was when, 2009, you said?
Yeah, that was in 2009.
Okay. So could ASEP pinpoint what happened in 2009 from now that we actually dropped a grade in disaster prepare? You would be thinking all along, that's the one thing since 9/11 that should be going up all the time.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's several issues. One of the things that happens is there's just a tremendous variation in hospital capacity and personnel preparedness from state to state. But also, one of the things that we can directly point to is the federal funding for disaster preparedness decreased in 2009 from $13.82 per person to $9.52 currently. So there's definitely been a drop in funding, even at the federal level, and it's not an insignificant number.
Hmm. And it's interesting. It is you think it's a part of national security, homeland security, you know, in light of everybody talking about how NSA is going to change their practices now, yet you look at the Boston Marathon and what happened, and you can realize how really the emergency is one of the front lines, and it is a part of homeland security. So what does the American College say about how can we better prepare the nation for it?
Well, certainly there's a lot of programs that that we can push our legislators to help fund. Certainly, you know, the issue is there's statewide patient tracking systems to help identify disasters. You know, even, you know, the flu, we need to have surge capacity. And a lot of times, unfortunately, I know this kind of overlaps with access, but, you know, there's still hospitals closing. And certainly with the funding issues of the ACA, we do not know exactly where we're, you know, what's going to happen to the hospitals here in the near future. So there's a lot of different programs that we can do. Also, you know, certainly the states can do a lot themselves in developing drills and programs, and particularly for special need patients, because that's certainly from our disasters that we learned in New Orleans. You know, we have to have a way of evacuating those patients and caring for them in the event of a disaster.
Mm-hmm. Now, you bring up drills as a good point, and I was reading somewhere in one of the papers that, you know, that's pretty much on a state level, and it's lack of funding for that, because it is expensive to run a drill, but it's that, you know, crucial preparedness and, you know, like a Boy Scout being ready and practicing ahead of time if something happens. So can people go to the website and look up their individual states and then talk to their legislators and question about, you know, how drills are done and such?
Absolutely. There's a tremendous amount of resources online, and if people cannot get access to those, certainly reaching out to American College Physicians, we can get them whatever information they want. And the website actually gives you a fair amount of detail state by state to see where things are at. You know, it's kind of not surprising that the District of Columbia is number one, and certainly in funding. Their funding is about 10 times the average of all the other states. So you can imagine with that amount of money, their preparedness is excellent.
Right. And it unfortunately comes to dollars in a sense anyway. What is part of the budget of preparedness on the national level related to Homeland Security too? Is there a part of that budget that's put aside for emergency preparedness?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, some of the states have appropriately utilized those funds, and others really have not gone to that level. And I think one of the things that if you fall in one of the states that did very poorly, that may be one of the issues you can get your legislators to look at. You know, I'm not going to mention the states individually, but mm-hmm. 14 states received Fs and 7 states received Ds, and those are something that, you know, reaching out to legislators, just even with a small increase in funding and really concentrated programs, can make a big change in that grade.
Mm-hmm. And what percentage of the overall grade for the report card? Because the overall national, you know, grade was a D plus, which is not that good, to
yeah.
say the least.
Well, yeah.
So what was
disaster preparedness accounted for 15% of the nationwide grade.
That's interesting. And it isn't just mass casualties, which everybody thinks, although you see it on the news all the time, right? You know, there was a recent shooting at another school, which is unbelievable. So, you know, it goes all the way from, you know, bombing, like terrorist bombing, like the Boston Marathon, to just even school shootings, theater shootings. But it's something as simple as pandemics or flu outbreaks, right? That if the ERs are overcrowded and the system isn't supported, you can have a problem with preparedness.
That's absolutely the case. I live up in Northern California, and over the last several weeks, you know, our volumes are up 20%. And, you know, you can imagine if that comes into, you know, that presses the staff already. We're at a lot of our hospitals are at or over capacity, and you know, this is just a moderate flu spike. You can imagine what would happen if that was double or triple.
Right. So again, everything is kind of interconnected. It isn't necessarily, you know, mean there's a bomb that's going to go off in your town. You know, it's what's going to happen to your local ER, you know, during flu season, and then, you know, God forbid you get into a car accident and have to be brought
Absolutely.
To the
ER. Absolutely. And you can imagine if the hospitals are above capacity and something else happens, then, you know, you're already stretching your capacity to manage and sometimes a predictable flu, a flu spike. You can imagine if the spike is greater or two things happen concomitantly.
Right. It's important. So another thing, a suggestion from ASAP, is to go to your legislatures, even on the state level for sure, and talk to them about, you know, how well your state's prepared for emergencies and disasters. It's critical. It's life-saving. At one point, anything could happen to us and we could end up in an ER. Even as a doctor, you can be a patient. This is ER 101. I'm Dr. Lee Vanocur on Radio MD. Stay well and tune in to your health.